Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jay here, Full-Time Devils. This is the Full-Time Devils podcast. It's episode 40-something, I forget. I think it's 47. Don't quote me, might be 48. Don't quote me. Joining me today is Angelina Kelly. Angelina, welcome.
Hello.
Is this one of your final appearances before you...
It is one of my final appearances. Yes.
Going to Germany. The Germans. But yeah. I'm sure you'll... is that, I'm allowed to say that? Is that racist? I'm sorry if it is. I'm sure you'll be joining us via Skype.
Yeah, and hopefully I'll be... Yeah,
You will be joining us via
Skype. Yeah, I will be. I have no option. Yes, yes.
And also with us is Casey. How are we billing you? Is it Casey from Stretford Paddock?
Yeah, Casey from Stretford Paddock.
Yeah, well, you get a message of Steve, you don't say that, saying Steve. Why did you go on Full-Time Devils and not talk about Stretford Paddock?
Message by subtly, like something thrown at my head. Yeah. Like, mention Stretford Paddock. No, I'm from Stretford Paddock, yeah. So I... Might have seen me on there. You've probably seen me on here a couple of other times. As I was discussing with you before, and Jay, our last fantastic podcast project.
I tell you what, if you want the lottery numbers or you want to earn some money off betting, come to me and him.
We'll tell you the numbers and then just do the exact opposite and you'll have it.
Tell the listeners and viewers, Casey, what we declared last time me and you were on here together.
Well, I mean, I got one out of three. I said we signed a striker on loan, which actually ended up happening, but we said Fernandez wouldn't sign, and then I think the next day he did.
Yeah.
And we said that the United chanting was only chanting. There was nothing going to happen from it. They weren't going to try and set fire to Ed Woodward. And then some flares got thrown at his house.
It was literally like the podcast got published, and then an hour later it was dated. It was wrong.
It was just wrong.
We were so sure as well when we said it. We were so like, I was like, we're not going to sign a midfielder. What are people getting deluded for? We're not going to sign Bruno Fernandez. But we did, and I also have to add that this is being recorded just before the Bruges game, so if you're wondering why we've not talked about Ighalo's hat-trick or...
Rashford's shock appearance
on the
pitch.
Yeah, Rashford and Pogba's amazing recoveries, then that's why. On the subject of Pogba, because, funnily enough, he's been in the news again lately.
No.
Now, Steve and McCullough... I've done a bit on this on McCullough and House and Uncensored, so I'm not going to go too much into it, but I just will say a couple of things or ask a couple of questions. Ollie sort of, in his last press conference at the time recording again, said he almost didn't know when Pogba was going to be back, which is slightly worrying because we've gone from he's going to be back in 2 weeks to he's going to be back in February to we don't know when he's going to be back. Casey, I'll start with you. Simple question. Do you think we'll see him in a Manchester United shirt again?
No, I don't think so. I don't think we will. I think if we do see him, it might be like the one appearance at the end of the season.
Really?
Yeah. Because I feel like it's just one of those ones where it's obviously an injury which many people have before. I'm just going to make sure the mic's there.
Sorry, it's me.
Yeah, Jay's making sure I'm speaking to the mic. But it's an injury we've seen before, so there's obviously a time period that they should know that, it's a surgery. I can't remember exactly what it was on.
It was his ankle
surgery. So there's probably like a time frame, which I think was before the end of the season. So we should see him back. So Solskjaer, I think, would say, you might get him a couple of games at the end of the season. Like he would definitely say something if we were going to see him again. And I feel like at this point, it's just a matter of if someone stumps up the cash, he's out the door.
And there was rumour going around that, you know, well, not a rumour, a story. Well, a story in the Daily Mail is a rumour. Let's have it right. I get more sense out of me, junkin' uncle. But there was a story that he might be available for a cut price deal in the summer. Do you think United would do that? Do you think that, regardless of whether we see him play much more football for Manchester United, do you think in the summer, A, he's going to go, and B, a cut price deal could be on the table?
I mean, obviously, you don't know what they're going to do. But in my opinion, I'd just take anything to get rid of him. I just think he's...
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's like I get people's argument, you know, for him and stuff like that. And I don't think you can deny that when he's good, he's fantastic. Like, you can't deny that. We've all seen that. But I just feel like the vibe with him, it's just everything is just so toxic. Like, at the end of the day, let's be honest, you know, he's putting on Instagram all of his training that he's doing. He's not doing that to get fit for Manchester United. Because if he even cared an iota about this club, he wouldn't be saying the things that he says. He wouldn't be allowing his agent to be saying what he said. And we talked about it on the phone in after the Chelsea game. Me and Scotty were getting into, we were both like very heated and passionate about our dislike for Pogba, really, to be honest. But it's, you know, your agent is a representation of you, and that agent needs you more than you need them, to an extent. And if you employed somebody to help you out and they were saying disrespectful things about your manager, your club, you'd pull them to the side and say, what are you doing? Like, yeah, he's got to have been given some kind of, oh, say what you want kind of thing, because you wouldn't jeopardise your business by pissing off your player. Do you know what I mean? And it's just, I just think the whole vibe around him, everything, it just feels toxic to me. I think he's getting himself ready for the Euros. Don't think he particularly cares if he'll play for us again. Maybe just, I don't know, maybe from a fitness perspective or something, he might show his face once or twice, but he will not want to risk not making those Euros. So
it's a shame. Part of me with Pogba thinks there is an element here of you almost reap what you sow as Manchester United Football Club. And I'll explain what I mean by that. We got Pogba from Le Havre when he was a teenager, and Le Havre kicked off about it because they'd had him as a youngster, a real youngster, and we'd come in and gone, right, we'll take you to our academy. And they were annoyed because they felt they'd sort of done the hard bit with him, getting him as a very young lad into a sort of teenager and an older teenager who was progressing and obviously looked set to become a superstar, even at an early age, I think 14, 15, you could tell that he was going to be one of the world's best players. So we got him then. We had him. Now, he kicked up a fuss and he left. No, he kicked up a fuss. He didn't want to stay. He was offered a contract. He didn't sign it. He linked up with Raiola quite early. Fergie says in his book, him and Raiola just didn't see eye to eye. They weren't happy with the fact he was with Raiola, but obviously he's entitled to work with whoever he wants to. Work with Raiola. Didn't want to sign a contract with United. Didn't want to stay United. He then went to Juve. And when he was at Juve, he said a lot of sort of disparaging things about Fergie and the way he'd been treated and United in general. He was like, you know, he went back to the Blackburn game where he was sat on the bench and we had Raphael and Phil Jones in midfield. He talked about how, Paul Scholes came out of retirement and he wasn't given a chance. Now, I watched a lot of Pogba at that time for the academy players, academy team, and he was fantastic. And I saw him for the first team a few times as well, if you remember, at Leeds and at Elland Road. And he was good. But I can understand why Fergie wasn't ready to throw in him every week. I think with Pogba as a young player, he stood out in the young team because A, he was an excellent footballer, but B, physically, he was a lot stronger and faster than the other players as well. And he didn't quite have that physicality as an 18-year-old going into Premier League football. So I can understand why you'd want to wait a little bit and sort of bring him in slowly. It made sense to me that, but he wasn't happy about it. And he went to Juve, which I get, fair enough, big club, big money. There's no harm in that. And I think that's the time when you can say, okay, everyone walks away sort of semi-happy. But then he comes back to United. We pay big money for him, 89 million quid, basically because City weren't willing to pay that. There's this story of him coming back home and all this rubbish, he didn't. He came because we paid enough money to get him. Yeah. It wasn't a case of he was desperate to come back to Manchester United. No. And he came with Raiola still his agent, an agent that we'd all had problems with, or we'd had problems with. And then I always felt when Pogba came back and we had Mourinho at the same time, we'd get 3 years out of the pair of him. But during that time, we'd win something, like we'd win a title, or I know it sounds deluded, but maybe even the Champions League. And then they'd both move on. Now, Jose's obviously gone. Pogba wants to go. But everyone's sort of, you know, sort of shocked at this or surprised. I'm not.
No.
Because I think all the signs were there, you know, and he didn't want us to stay in the first time round. He came back the second time round for a big on a big money move, basically because we were the only ones prepared to pay it. And then after a few years, he wants to move on. And I get it. I think, okay, I can live with that. But what's happened is we've got in this sort of quandary where no one's willing to pay or no one's going to pay the money we wanted. So he's stuck here. And I think if he is stuck here, then he's got a sort of duty to act a certain way. And I agree with you on the rail of front. You know, I'd be very surprised. I know it's a completely different player. I don't think I'm comparing it to. But I'd be very surprised if Raiola came out and slagged off Solskjaer on behalf of Jesse Lingard.
Exactly.
I don't think Jesse Lingard would let him do that. Now, I get Jesse Lingard and Paul Pogba aren't on the same levels. But you understand where I'm coming from. I don't think that would happen.
Yeah.
So I think Pogba, who is an intelligent lad, he's not some idiot.
No, not at all.
Don't dismiss him as just some thick footballer who doesn't know what day it is. He's not. He's a clever lad.
Yeah.
I don't see him just going, what? He's done what? Raiola said that. Oh, man.
Oh, I have no clue that was going to happen.
I don't. Yeah. I think he even knew about it beforehand or he encouraged it. I think either way, it's with
he's not turned around to him and said, listen, at the end of the day, I want to still show a little bit of respect to the club for the fans. You know, I don't really want to be slagging off my manager because he's still my manager. When we leave, say what we want to say, maybe. But whilst I'm still, whilst I've still technically got the shirt on, you know, let's just leave it. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, Mino Raiola's been doing his best impression of someone's, like, you know, drunk relative at a party that just kind of gets a bit too much. And he's just, like, in a corner shouting at people.
What was it Scotty said? Like, some, like, recently divorced woman who's had a few
my favourite one is the one where he's just, Gary Neville was just like, maybe you should just stop talking, like, and just calm down. And he was like, no, Gary Neville. It's like, you're not successful. If you were successful, Salford would be in the Premier League. And then everyone on the Twitter was like, they literally cannot be in the Premier League. Like, mathematically, there are not enough promotions for them to be in the Premier League right now. They would only be in the Championship at most. It's like
when he said, I'm not talking about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. You are.
In it.
That sentence makes no sense.
Yeah.
As you're saying that, you're talking about him. And just you just need to stop it. And I think the whole Pogba thing, you know, we all need to move on one way or another. Okay. We've got, in my opinion, Fernandes, who's... I think he's has been brought in as a replacement for Pogba. I hope we do get more midfielders in. I don't think that's enough. But I'd be, you know, I'll be glad when all this is over. I'll be sorry to see him go because I don't think he quite lived up to the expectations a lot of us had. Despite some success, I don't think it was quite the move that we all hoped it would be. But I think as a club, we need to move on. And as
it's
a player,
just a toxic to situation and everyone needs to just have a clean slate, I think.
It's sad. You know what I saw as well? This is a bit off piece, but I saw pictures of Raiola. I was looking at pictures of Raiola, that's what I do in my spare time. Do you know what I mean?
To make memes.
Yeah, to make memes. And he was like posing for selfies with all the Juve fans. And I just thought, well, the world's, you know, football's got mad on it.
Yeah.
It's just like he's a star in his own right when he's an agent who many of us would just wish would go away. Enough about Paul Pogba though. Let's talk about something much more cheery. Odion Ighalo.
Oh. I think, have I showed you? Where's my phone? Let's have a look, shall we?
Day sign. Yeah. As I said, we don't know how he's done against Bruges. I presume he's banged him in.
Yeah. But, 100%.
One thing about Odion Ighalo is he wants to be here. He's like the opposite of Paul Pogba.
Yeah.
He's anti-Pogba. He does want to be here. None of us wanted him. Now he is here. We've got him. Are you happy about that, Ange?
Yeah, I've got. I mean, I think when we signed him, everyone was a little bit like, hang on, because, I don't know, you kind of see China as maybe like a bit of a like big money retirement home. And the fact that he's so young and he's already in China, you kind of think, hang on a minute, what's going on
here? Retirement home where the handrails are made of gold.
Yeah, exactly. You're just thinking, hang on, it's a bit worrying. But at the end of the day, I'll take anybody that wants to play for the club, wants to put the shirt on, he's passionate about it, cares, wants to do well, and I think that's a really good recipe for, you know, a decent player. Is he, you know, he's not gonna necessarily, well, you don't know, he could be banging in goals every week. You don't know. I guess he's a bit of a wild card because we don't necessarily know everything that he can do, but I just think if you've got somebody that's enthusiastic that actually wants to put the shirt on, let him crack on and see what he can do.
Okay, sir.
I mean, When you, like you said, when we signed him from China, I was like, well, is he going to be on? Is he going to be sharp? Is he going to look like he's on form? But you've seen all everything. The day he signed, there was like 50 Instagram things of like, oh, I've signed for United sort of thing. But then he showed, obviously, he went to the Taekwondo Centre. He got his fitness up. He's he obviously has that willingness to play, and he seems to be a different option. Like, for 6 months on loan, he looks like he's obviously got some strength on him, which Martial doesn't seem to have. He can, in that small, I mean, I've only seen 5 minutes of the guy play for United, but he seems to be able to hold people off and keep the ball and sort of thing. And he nearly scored. Willie Caballero, you know, I have never screamed so much.
If he'd have scored, that would have been absolute carnage. To be fair, he should have scored. I think he's rubbish. He needs to move on.
Yeah.
joking before the comments start. We have got one eye on the summer already. I know it's a long way away, but Jadon Sancho's had another stormer. We saw Erling Haaland banging one worldie in. Do you see us getting any big names in the summer? Because the talk, we did a thing the other day, it was talk of Grealish, maybe Sancho or Madison.
Mm.
Haaland even could still be on the table, I think. Can he go again in January?
I think Sancho's the one that everyone's going to be wanting. I feel like a lot of clubs are going to come in for Sancho.
Yeah.
I feel like it's everyone keeps saying, oh, it's between United and Chelsea. I don't think you've even like factored in the fact that Real Madrid probably will want him. Like Barcelona, obviously today, actually they won't want him anymore. They've just signed Martin Braithwaite from Leganés.
I read that notification came up on my phone, and I was like, "No."
The rest. I have very strong feelings about the entire situation, and it's really annoyed me. And
why?
Just the entire situation with Martin Braithwaite is that
it sounds right. You know, you say Martin Braithwaite. It sounds like someone who does your gas cookers.
He doesn't sound like a Barcelona.
So Martin Braithwaite's been on the phone. He says you got that spanner you borrowed off him.
So they've got two players injured. They've got Dembele and they've got Suarez injured. I think Suarez is injured till May. Dembele's over 6 months.
Obvious replacement.
I've never forgiven Dembele for the Scousers, by the way.
Mm. So in under La Liga rules, Barcelona can appeal to them, and then they're allowed to sign a player outside of the transfer window.
Right,
but the fact is that then they also have the rule in La Liga that the players have to have a release clause in the contract. So Barcelona can literally then go to any club and be like, yeah, we're going to buy your best player. So they went to Leganés. I mean, he's not really scored that many. He's scored like six. But they've gone to Leganés, who are struggling relegation. I'm like, yeah, we're going to just buy a player. We're going to pay 60 million. And now you cannot get a replacement. So now that instead of... And I don't get...
Are you inferring, Casey, that there's maybe some form of...
I just don't
corruption.
I just don't see the point. Like every other team in the
favoritism.
Like when we got injuries, we had to promote youth. When other teams get injuries, they have to promote youth. Why does it have to be that Barcelona can be like, yeah, I'm going to go sign the best player from
Barcelona's youth? Like
La Masia is meant to be like the best.
It's like one of the greatest in Europe.
It's a bit like that shower from down the road, though, isn't it? It's like City have got this amazing youth academy, and they spent £200 million on the facilities. And you've got all these amazing youth players, and yet, you know, he brings on Phil Foden in the 89th minute when they're 5-0 up just to tick a box.
Mm.
So, yeah, I think there's an element of that with Barcelona. It is, and you see it, and it's deflating, and you think,
Yeah, give him a minute, and they'd be buying, Jonathan Codger. I'm getting him back on
board from Aston Villa. Didn't we get Andy Gorham, once? I saw Maka tweeted something. Didn't we get Andy Gorham out of the transfer window, or was that... Am I imagining that? Mm. It's not quite the same.
I just don't get the situation. It's angled towards a bigger team being able to just raid a lower league club. The lower league club now doesn't have their best striker and they're struggling and fighting relegation. And then there's all the youth players who just don't get promoted.
Listen, enough about corruption and bending the rules and all that sort of stuff. Let's talk about Manchester City and FFP. And do you think that anything will come of this?
I've just read something as I came in.
Okay, so go on then.
Okay, so I think it's the president of PSG, who is on the UEFA committee, has been charged by a Swiss court, is been under investigation for by a Swiss court for bribery. So I think City are getting off with it.
The City PR machine rivals the Neil Ashton one in terms of trying to paint this multi-billion pound plaything from a horrendous regime that's just being used for sports washing as some sort of that's broken all these rules that they signed up to voluntarily to go along with. They've willingly broken them, then cut the books, then lied about it, and now being painted as some sort of victims by horrible UEFA who have picked on them.
Evil UEFA, yeah.
I mean, I don't UEFA last time.
I mean, I don't like UEFA. I'm not a big UEFA fan, but I think if you don't like them rules, don't sign up to them.
But the fact was, is the first time they had this, they had it against PSG a couple of years ago. PSG sent 8 lawyers. UEFA didn't even send a representative to this court of arbitration for sport.
Work placement went with him. Oh, we need you to go there and sort this out.
So, like, could you imagine City? What? City have the backing.
Stop making them brews. Go on, you've got to City have the backing.
Up,
the United Arab Emirates, they have the backing of China. They have the backing of some like companies in America. They're going to send like 30, and there's just going to be one UEFA lawyer there, like, I want to say something. It's like, now, after him, if number 15's got something to say, well, wait a minute. Then we got number 16, and then you were in about half an hour, maybe two.
It's going to be like proper, like, I'm going to want to say something, but I've left me thing at home. It don't matter.
You know what? It's well,
yeah, everything he said, he's lying.
We're seven days in, and City still haven't finished their opening statements.
Like, it is. And do you see any chance of City? Because everyone I speak to just thinks City is just going to get away with this, if that's the right term.
All I say is, I don't know, money talks, doesn't it, I guess. Every part of you is hoping and praying. And it's not even just for the whole, like, oh, could United get in the Champions League, blah, blah, blah. It's not even that. It's just for the dislike of them to just see them not be in the competition for 2 years. Because that is, like, the last kind of thing that Guardiola has to tick off his list at City.
It's weird for Guardiola at City because I don't think he's getting the love that he wants
from
the footballing world. Mm. And I don't think he will. And I'm not just saying he's a bit of red and all that, but you saw it after the FA Cup final last season. Mm. They beat Watford 6-0 in the final. They win the domestic treble. And you think, you know, he's sat there expected to be sort of lorded over and congratulated.
Yeah.
And instead he gets questions about financial irregularities. Mm. And you can see he was annoyed. And then this season, the Scousers, and I'm not happy about this in any stretch of the imagination, but they've looking like they're going to go one better than the City Centurions, forgive me for using that word. So that sort of put a damper on his achievement in a way, because it's like Klopp's done it a bit better. And I just don't feel he's getting that love. And this again with FFP and the way that the city being perceived, I don't think he's going to be.
It's not how it was in Barcelona for him, is it?
Yeah, and
I don't think he's ever really recaptured what he had in Barcelona, to be honest. Like, he's gone to Bayern Munich.
And this is the thing where I've had so many discussions with, you know, when you look at Guardiola, minus Barcelona, obviously, like, he's done great things at City, but he's still not managed. Before, you know, they'd already won the Premier League before he got there. They've still not managed to get that success in Europe with him. And you look at how well he did at Barcelona. Of course he was going to do well at Barcelona. He pretty much grew up there, played for them, knew how the system worked. Obviously, there's other controversial things I won't bring up about what he was doing in Barcelona.
And there's one Lionel Messi.
Was done for whatever he was done for, and then he still continued to use him.
I ain't saying nothing, but
right,
yeah.
Okay, yeah. Allegedly.
Yeah. You know, and then he went to Bayern Munich. It didn't really take off there. He's come to City, and yeah, you have to say he has had success, but he's still not ticked that box for them. And that's where he kind of, I think he gets, like, lauded as, and maybe more from, like, Barcelona fans and, like, Spanish people, like, lauded as this amazing manager, and I don't think he's necessarily ticked off.
Well, let's ask you a question then, right? I know I'm going to get pellets for this, but I'll ask you anyway. Is Luis Enrique one of the greatest managers ever?
For the is it the trouble winning with? He had an even better front line than. I mean, that was.
I'm just asking that question.
Yeah.
Because right, you look at it. I remember when Rijkaard was at Barcelona. They won the Champions League in 2006. We knocked them out in the semis in 2008. But you could see, you know, with Xavi, with Messi especially, there was a core of world class players to build around. Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not belittling what Guardiola did at Barcelona. He did a very good job. But Mourinho came in. Into Real Madrid with all the chaos that goes with
Madrid. That
was
some of the
Mourinho.
Best years watching those Classicos.
I mean,
he
still managed to win the title.
Mourinho
still managed to win the Liga. And then Guardiola more or less said, right, I've had enough, I'm going.
Yeah.
Went to Bayern Munich, didn't get to a final, get to a Champions League final. I'm not being funny, but walking the Bundesliga with Bayern Munich, when
it's not a great.
Financially as well.
I think you could probably do that. You know?
I could at least get him into the top five.
100%.
Yeah. isn't like a massive achievement. He comes to City. He has a season. The first season, I think they finished third when he was sort of finding his feet. He's backed massively in the fight in the transfer market. Mm. You know, brings in Bravo, doesn't work out, gets rid of him. Brings in Nolito, doesn't work out. But, you know, brings in the likes of Kyle Walker, the likes of Mendy.
Kicks out Joe Hart,
yeah. Also, City laid foundations for him, bringing in the likes of Sterling and De Bruyne, and knowing that he was coming.
Yeah.
Obviously, what he did with the whole 100 points thing and then winning domestic treble is massive. But in many ways, you can argue, because he's had it so easy at so many clubs.
I think that's what it is.
He has underachieved slightly. I mean, let's not forget, I've heard this criticism about Fergie, that Fergie should have won more than two Champions Leagues.
Mm.
And Fergie, you know, there's lots of mitigating factors why he didn't. But you look at Guardiola, the teams he's had, the way he's been back.
I think more.
He's only been to two finals, hasn't he?
I think it's more last season, the fact that they didn't manage to get to that final last season. Wow. I think that for me is when I kind of started looking, thinking, hang on a minute, like this is supposed to be, he's supposed to be the best thing since sliced bread, and he couldn't get that City team that he had into that final. I can't exactly remember the route that they had.
It was Spurs who not smart. The season before, at the Scousers won it. So
and that's
two
thing.
English teams that by rights you're a lot better than.
Yeah.
That have knocked him out of the Champions League. Anyway, enough of City and Liverpool. Even though Liverpool did get beat the other day, which was a nice change.
Yeah.
Good to see that they took it really well by slagging off.
Oh, yeah, they said the ref. They said one of the ones was like, as you can see, before Atletico scored, we should have had a throw in. I was like, that's just. One of those
only
things.
They could win like every game bar two and still moan
complain
or
about
whatever
it
is. I've got a bit of a announcement. It's nothing grand.
Well,
it is grand actually. I shouldn't say that. B52.
To get a drum roll.
Yes, B52. I've been in touch again, and I don't even know about B52. They do craft beer sets as well. So what you do is you sign up. They send you a box of beers. And it's all beers from around the world, so from like Scandinavia, California, South Africa. And if you use the code the link that's in the description, www.beer52.com/devils, and cover just £4.95 in packaging, then you'll get a case of beer. And you get two free extra beers, so that's 10 free beers in total as well. So you get a free case of beer for just pay £4.95 packaging, postal packaging. You can sign up to it and you can get different beers sent to you each month, but you can drop out whenever you want as well. Obviously, terms and conditions apply. You have to be over 18. I gave some of these beers, I don't drink, I gave them to my dad and he was raving about them. So everyone's into craft beers now, aren't they?
Yeah.
And international beers. No doubt you'll be doing that when you're over in Berlin.
Yep.
So do check them out. As I said, links in the description, www.beer52.com/devils. Get your case of free beers from Full Time Devils and Beer 52. Looking ahead to the weekend,
yep.
Watford. Bit of a funny one, this, isn't it? Because Watford at home, normally you go, yeah, I'm what? But the Beatles away, we have struggled against the so-called lesser teams, Burnley, Palace.
And we've just won. So.
West Ham, yeah. We've just beaten Chelsea, so in the league, which is sort of our MO this season. Ange, I'll start with you. Do you think Watford could be a bit of a banana skin, or do you think we'll be all right?
You know what? It'd be so lovely to be going into this confident after that Chelsea win and thinking, you know what? And what? We'll be absolutely
and
fine.
What?
And
years
what?
Since we said that.
Yeah. But no, I think if we've learned anything this season is that you can't underestimate teams, especially the way that we have been playing. We can't go into games thinking that anymore. You have to take them seriously. And I think they will be wanting to get, you know, another win over us, of course. And it depends which Manchester United shows up, I think. The Chelsea, Manchester United, or the other one, yeah.
If we could play Chelsea every week, we'd be
imagine.
Top of the league.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd say that. I used to hate going to Stamford.
Well, that was the thing.
We got beat twice in one season. We got knocked out of both cups.
It used to be like when you'd hear Stamford Bridge, you think, oh, it's going to be a crap game.
Yeah. And you just see Frank Lampard imploding every
week. It's been a good season. One of my best mates is a Chelsea fan, so it's been great watching him just implode every single
week. How old is he?
The same age as me. So 20,
that?
21.
20. Time that wrong, hasn't it? Jesus.
Yeah.
It's like being a United fan now, starting to support him now.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for you, Casey, because you've not had the... You're old enough to remember, aren't you? Van Persie era.
Van Persie era. Like, I had the stint of like the mid-2000s after the Mourinho first sort of like coming in and obviously knocking us off the peg.
Don't worry. The good times will return once Gallo hits his
stride. Obviously against his old club.
Yes, exactly. I get where you're coming from, Ange, and it is a funny one with Watford because they're sort of on paper this season the exact sort of team we've struggled against. The sort of soak up pressure, the short up shop, the physical, and they work well as a unit. And we've struggled with that. We've struggled to break teams down. And we sort of have that sort of 20 minutes of attacking when we have to face teams like Watford, even in the way leg. And then if we don't score, the crowd, especially at home, can get restless. and you can just almost sense what's coming. And it would be really disappointing after such a big win at Chelsea to not get a win against the Watford team that, after their initial bump when Pearson took over, they have struggled, haven't they? They've not done what I think many people thought they would do when he came in, and he thought, oh, he's going to do a Leicester way. He just starts winning every game like he did at the end of his time at Leicester, winning every game and sort of getting the best out of everyone. They have sort of tapered off a little bit now, and I think that there's no excuses, really. We should be able to beat a team like Watford. And one of the big issues, obviously, this season has been injuries, and that could be a factor against Watford as well. What have you made of it this season, Casey, in terms of injuries? Because Ollie gets a lot of stick, but part of me thinks it's deserved. Some of it's deserved anyway, not all of it. But part of me thinks, if you look at the injuries we've had, not necessarily the amount of injuries, but the players that have been injured and their importance, do you think Ollie deserves a little bit more, not credit, but a little bit more leeway, because he's had to deal with no Paul Pogba for much of the season, no Marcus Rashford, who looks like could be out for the entire season for what's going to be, you know, a big part of the sort of squeaky bum time, as Fergie used to call it. Martial was missing for a few months. McTominay as well. Do you think he does deserve a bit more sort of sympathy?
I feel like the lot of the stick that he gets given is obviously his tactical changes, and his tactics are a bit off in terms of substitutions. But in terms of the injuries, I'd say, like, when you look at the team, you probably would say a team like United should have a lot of reserves. But then if someone gets injured, there should be someone who's easily going to step into that place and do the job. We don't have that. We don't have the luxury of that anymore, really. So, yeah, I feel like the injuries have been important. I think one of the bigger injuries that has been sort of overlooked in the sense is Eric Bailly, in the sense of... I mean, this might seem... let me just put this out before everyone says, I'm not reacting to the fact that he played exceptionally against Chelsea. I thought it was fantastic against Chelsea. But I've always thought that the player that should play...
It was a very Eric... Right, he was good, right? But, and I love Eric Bailly, and he did some amazing things. But there was a touch of Eric Bailly's about him, especially in the first 10 minutes, where you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
He has a dash in the madness, but it's great.
But I do love Eric Bailly, and I think he's...
Sometimes you just need that. But I always thought that a centre-back like Lindelof or Maguire is best partnered by someone like Eric Bailly. Because the fact
someone
is,
with a slightly,
like, because obviously you've got your composed, and here's the guy, like, obviously
you've
Maguire,
got batshit crazy,
because that's how lunatic,
that's
pirouetting through in his own box and diving in 2-footed, but in the opposition's half, there's no logic to it.
Yeah,
like if you had him and Rojo as your centre back partner,
oh my god, could you imagine
that? You'd be relegated, I think, because
either that
great,
or the striking line would
be
suspended every week.
They'd have no striking line. The other team would go, like, they would be broken. But the fact is, that's how Liverpool operate. Like, Liverpool have Van Dijk, who's very composed and sits back and everything, and then they have someone like Joel Matip or Gomez, who just, like, run in and try and tackle, and when they try and get past him, because they're like, oh my god, this guy is coming at me at 100 miles per hour, Van Dijk just clears it up.
I do love Eric Bailly. One of my favourite games from Eric Bailly was when we beat Liverpool a couple of years ago, when Marcus got a brace, and Eric Bailly, he scored an own goal, but for me he was man of the match, and that just summed him up. He scored an own goal, I thought he was man of the match. Genuine, and he'd not played for months, and he came back in, and everyone was like, why is Jose throwing him in? Oh no, this is going to be a disaster. And he was mint, and it was just like, this is what we've been missing, because he is so good.
He complements the other centre backs, like, that's what I mean. And then you look at the other injuries, we haven't had a settled midfield for most of the season. Like, obviously we lost Paul Pogba, we finally have hopefully found a replacement for that sort of passing ability in Fernandes. McTominay got injured. Fred obviously started a bit slowly. Matic got injured, or Matic kind of dropped off, but he's come back in and he's looking a lot better. There's never been a midfield three where I've been like, that's settled. They know how to play it together. They've got a good run. And then obviously we don't even get into the forward lineup. We've had Rashford injured. We saw our best striker. We saw our most prolific striker.
Alexis Sanchez. We saw our best striker.
We saw our most prolific striker. In terms of stats and everything.
Do you know what I can't be doing with as well is when Lukaku scores and the timeline's just awash with, why did we sell Lukaku?
Because he works in the system. It doesn't work in our system.
It wasn't fact we sold him, we just didn't replace him.
Yeah, that's the thing, innit? Why did we replace him?
Because let's not forget, the same people that are tweeting that were doing memes of him to Benny Hill music when he was at United.
Yeah.
So it's not like he was...
They were the ones that said he was wearing jeans and Timberlands, like, when he was trying to control the ball. Like, the fact he does well at Inter is the fact that he doesn't have to touch a ball more than once.
Exactly. And if you look at his record, 42 goals in 96 games, he's very good. But his record after 10 games was 10 goals. He very much in fits and starts. Do you know what I mean? Like, he'd go 10 games scoring, and then 10 games without scoring, or 9 games without scoring, And some of those games where he wouldn't score would be the games you needed.
And also, like some of the games he scored, like I honestly didn't understand the defending, because whenever he touched the ball, people just stood off and waited for him.
Well, he was a big part of 4-0 FC, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So, and you remember the derby as well at Old Trafford, where he set up two City goals.
Was it that game against?
Remember?
It was the game against.
I mean,
all
right,
you
block
some of these things out.
Fair enough, you're not scoring. That's one thing, but to actually assist the opposition twice in the derby.
It was the game against PSG where he scored. I think it was PSG, yeah. And I remember he got the ball to feet, and I just saw both the PSG centre-backs just step off him and, like, we're going to hold a line. I was like, don't let him get the ball under control. Like, if you're a defender for the other team, don't give him more space. You know, like just step in and he'll lose it.
You play, like, 5-a-side or 11-a-side, and you're like, on his touch, get on him. Like, you know, you can't control it, get on him. And you think, you fucks like that? I hear it often. But that's like with Lukaku, isn't it? You know, if the ball's on to, get on him straight away, because it's going to take him at least 3 touches to get that under control. But, you know, it's like, are you going to say now we should have kept Ashley Young because he scored the other week? Because if you watch that goal,
100%.
He runs at it. My thoughts on Ashley Young, great leader, captain, legend. He runs 75 yards with no one challenging him. He literally has the full reign of the pitch, and it's like, oh my God, why isn't anyone going to him? He's
30. I think people need to seriously watch a lot of Italian football to understand why these players are doing well.
And if you don't, then don't fucking go on about it. Do you know what I mean? I don't watch a lot
He's
of
just basically,
football,
the thing was, in his team was built to focus around Riccardi, who was very much just got the ball in the box and shot. And they've now just basically taken Riccardi out and put in Lukaku, who's very good at getting the ball in the box and shooting.
Exactly.
But the fact is that the rest of it, they don't need to hold up play because they play like a lot more in between the midfield and the centre-backs and that sort of lines. So it's just a system that works for him. And that's why he's scoring goals. The fact is we needed to get someone who can hold it up and then also score the goals, but we just didn't.
On sadder topics, at the time of recording this, Harry Gregg died this week. I know Howson McCall has spoken about this, but you know, it's not just like we'll only speak about it once. Legend on and off the pitch, big part of the sort of not just what happened at Munich. He obviously rescued people, but rebuilding as well, getting the red flag flying again, because he was, you know, he's back in goal 13 days later, keeping a clean sheet as well. Which, you know, I watched the Busby documentary recently. We all went to see it, me, Gaz, and and it was just amazing that this happened. And that Jimmy Murphy says to him, you know, to him and Bill Fowkes, who just watched half the teammates die, and in Harry Gregg's case, actually dragged some of them from the wreckage, said, you're playing in the next game. Almost didn't give him a choice. But that was, I think that was sort of the mentality as well. Big legend, big part of what Manchester United are about as well. And I think it's right. I don't get this. People say, oh, you live in Paston River. You should appreciate
legends and the good times that you've had. Just because something happened, like, oh God, it happened like, you know, 5 years ago, forget about it now, it didn't happen. Like, you can't celebrate it still.
Yeah, it'd be absolutely wrong to not remember them and acknowledge them and respect what they did. And I, you know, if one person's listening to this podcast or is watching this and didn't know who Harry Gregg was, and they go out and Google him or have a search and realise what he'd done, then I'm all for that, because, you know, there's some people that sort of transcend just about the playing ability. It's what they've done off the pitch as well, and he's one of those people, who did so much for Manchester United, both on and off the pitch.
I think it was Chucky that had tweeted, and he actually told me about it as well, that he'd been to his house he went to his house not that long ago, and I remember him telling me about it, and he was like, he had, because I think he had like quite a bit of memorabilia at home as well or something, and he was saying like he was such a nice guy. He said not just like because he was such a great footballer, he said, but like the stories that he had to tell and like the way he told them. He said it was one of the most like entertaining afternoons, he said, and I remember him saying, he's like, I'll always remember that, like it was amazing.
It's a bit sad as well. Obviously it's very sad what happened at Munich, but I think he missed out on a title. He came that season of Munich, so he didn't win anything that season, obviously. Lost in the FA Cup final, one of the worst fouls I've ever seen in my life, but won't get into that. And I think he missed out on the 63 final because he was injured. And then by the time we won the title in 64, Alex Stepney, if I'm right, had come in as keeper. So I don't know if he actually got any winners' medals at Manchester United. If I'm wrong, forgive me.
I think he got goal. I mean, like, not at United, but I think I heard the other day he got goalkeeper of the tournament at the World Cup, which I thought for a Northern Irish keeper was.
Imagine that.
Quality.
Imagine Northern Ireland going to the World Cup now and keeping goalkeeper of the tournament.
Who would that be? That's Alex McCarthy?
I don't know.
Probably not even
saving
Nels
medicine
Hennessy.
Balls as well.
Wait, no, I know that's
Welsh.
When
you know
you're
out.
I can't even. This is my problem. I can't even
Pele,
think of the Northern Irish
from like 5 yards away. Nah, you're all right.
Waterlogged leather ball.
Yeah. Diving in front of that, no thanks.
I've had a Sandico at me. I feel like that would be a lot, like five times as worse as a Sandico.
I actually broke my arm trying to save one of five aside, so that shows you how hardcore I am in goal. Wally of the week, guys. Casey, I'll start with you. Who's your Wally of the week?
Oh, that's a hard one. I've already had given my piece on the League of Regulations as being my Wally of the week. I'd go Raiola. I mean, like, he just seems to be... I mean, not really a Wally because I don't think he particularly cares what people think of him. He's going to get his clients. He's going to get his moves because he's not the commodity in that matter.
Do you know what annoys me as well about his tweets as well? It's actually gobbledygook. Mm. If you read it...
That's what I mean. It's
it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
No. It's like when he had a go at Scholes there. And if he's like, oh, imagine Paul Scholes trying to find Paul Pogba a club, he would have many sleepless nights. What does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. If you actually decide, like, deconstruct yeah. it, it's meaningless.
I mean, it could
it's
I mean,
just
like,
gobbledygook.
Have many sleepless nights. It's like,
what's that mean? That means fuck all. What are you on about? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And then it's like with this thing with Ollie, what are you talking about?
He says that a lot. Anything. He says that many. I'm going to assume it's just like it's maybe an Italian idiom, and he's just trying to translate.
I get it. He's not, you know, English is
thrown it straight in.
You think you'd just, at least get someone to check it for you, like, and maybe say, you know what, mate, this actually doesn't make sense. So what?
If I was
going to
tweet something in Italian or whatever, I wouldn't just do it. Well, from Google Translate, I'd like to say, hang on a minute, does that make sense to you? But yeah, he just spouts nonsense. Angie, who's your Wally of the week?
There's so many.
This is going to be a 3-hour long special.
Yeah. Shout out to the housing situation in Berlin. That is my Wally of the week because
so
I'm
what?
Supposed to be moving there next week and I have nowhere to live. So
I'll give you some. I'll tell you something. I definitely didn't expect the Housing Association of Berlin to be Wally of the
week. Basically. Yeah.
It's just slightly below the Football Association in Berlin. Yeah. The Housing Association. The HA.
Yeah, that was
I would have thought,
extremely irritating to me
I would have thought
recently.
That, again, I might be crossing the line here, but I would have thought that the Germans were quite efficient in dealing with things like housing. They would have been like, right, here you go. They're renowned for their efficiency in their organisation.
No.
Is that not the case?
No.
Okay, well.
That is all I have to say. You know what? There's a few that I could get into, but I'll leave it at that. I think
the Old Trafford next week or the weekend, you should start a chant. You can stick your German Housing Association up your ass, and I think that'll get a lot of traction.
I was going to go into
or
more.
Build
kind
a bonfire,
of,
build. No, let's not.
I could have gone into Brits territory because that was.
Go on.
But I won't. Man,
the Brits, go on.
No, the, I can't remember her name, the MP that came out and had a go at Dave for his performance.
Well, I know
because he called Boris Johnson racist and she was like, no, no, he's not. It's like, no, that's no. so
oh,
wrong of him.
Princess
Patel. Yeah.
I know Mac has been having a dig at her because she's not flavour of the month for many people. And
yeah,
I,
so,
I can't believe it.
Like, don't want to hate on Berlin too much, so she can be it instead.
Princess Patel. She's been doing, people have accused her of bullying, haven't they, as well. We try not to get political on this show, but all I will say is just don't vote, sorry. my Wally of the week, I don't know, it's so obvious, isn't it, to say Raiola that she just, you know, I'm just struggling.
No, that's why
see.
I nicked it first. I was like, yeah, I'll get
I'm
in
just,
there.
I'm just,
I mean, I could have gone for something else. The next answer was Housing Association of Berlin.
Yeah,
so.
No, actually, I will go differently. I'll go with Adrian Durham. Because I don't like giving him our time, but it doesn't really matter because he's got his own show, so he can get it anyway. After Raiola and Simon Jordan had a little bit of a set two
really,
on talks.
I forgot you had that one, actually. That's
yeah,
number one.
Which I thought Simon Jordan, for all his faults, was actually quite good in the way he did it. And, you know, he's obviously got a bit of skin in the game, the fact he doesn't like agents because he had to deal with them as a football owner, as a former club owner. But I thought he made some really good points. And then Adrian Durham's come out and said, well, maybe Paul Pogba and Raiola are bigger than Manchester United. And he's also stuck up for City as well, so I just think he's a bit of a Wally. He does what he does to get a reaction. He's got one out of me, so well done, but he's still my Wally of the week. Ange, before you go to Berlin, when can people find you? Well, they can find you when you're in Berlin. Actually.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
I won't be like disabling
got,
all social media.
Yeah,
I'm not disappearing.
Got Wi-Fi in Berlin.
Yeah, well, not in some of the flats I've tried to look for, but you know. No, just anywhere, just Angelina Kelly. Just search
I'll say Salford. Berlin,
yeah.
So you need to know. Casey, talk to us.
Oh, yeah.
Steve's
I mean, not giving me a script. You obviously can find me on Stretford Paddock. I'm on there a lot. We have a lot of content. We have a lot of random stuff. We have a lot of news, all that sort of
I'd
thing.
I'd like to apologise as well to Stretford Paddock for walking into their live stream yesterday.
Yeah.
I there was a sign outside the door that said, do not enter, which I didn't read. I thought, because it was like one of those. We got one of that. It was like that. but not with.
But with Steve do not Jane. Enter on it. Yeah. It's like it's pretty easy but, to like yeah, notice.
My little brain was too small to walk and read at the same time. It's not happening.
Yeah. Walked straight in.
So I walked in and then went, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realise you could not live, is it?" And they went, "Yeah." I was like, right. And then I looked on my phone and I had a message from Steve saying, don't careful when you get in because yeah. the recording, so don't come in.
Yeah.
So apologies to Shep for panic.
Well, yeah, Twitter at Casey_Evans_. It's a lot. I just wanted my name and my Twitter handle so there. And then, yeah, pretty much the same. If you,
we'll have you back on here as well, mate. Don't worry about that.
So I'll probably be around.
Guys, don't forget as well to check out Beer 52, the link is in the description. As I said, you get yourself some free beers. Make sure you're over 18. Terms and conditions do apply. But use the sort of link www.beer52.com/devils and get yourself some extra free craft beers. That's been Angelina. That's been Casey. I've been Jay. This has been the Full Time Devils podcast. Don't forget to give us a like, share and a subscribe. We're on Audio Boom. We're on Spotify. We're on iTunes. And of course on YouTube. Thanks for watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.